Thank you, Kevin. That was beautiful. Love that song. Just a couple of things I just want to mention. Coming up this fall, we got some things that are happening that I'm kind of excited about. First of all, the 21st, Tuesday at 6:30, we are starting a prayer time. We're going to call it 7:14. So when you see 7:14, you know it's a special prayer time. This is an opportunity for you to come. At 6:30, you can come and go as you need, but we are actually going to have a special time of prayer, and we're going to do it twice a month. We're going to try and see what happens, but I don't know about you, but I have burdens, and just it's great to bring them before the Lord. I'm going to have oil here. Maybe there needs to be healing, so we'll bring the oil as well. So hope that you use this time. Bring friends that have problems or struggles as well. And then in November, I want to remind you now and tell you about this, November 5th and 6th. So Michael Smalley is going to be here in our church. Michael Smalley is the son of Gary Smalley. And so Michael Smalley just written a book, The DNA of Marriage. It's one of the most successful books out there on marriage right now. And so Friday and all day Sabbath, he's going to be right here. We're actually going to have a date night with Michael Smalley and his wife. And so it's a powerful opportunity for you to also invite friends and neighbors, and I'm going to advertise the community. This place is going to be packed, so you better be here early if you're going to get a seat when he comes into town, because most of the people out there in the Christian world know who Michael Smalley is. Okay, so that's coming November 5th and 6th. Write it down in your on your calendar. Wow, look at that. I get to start preaching at 25 after. That is awesome. Let's pray and ask God to bless us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Sabbath again. Thank you for each person here. We pray for the blessing of your Spirit to come. And Lord, I pray that you will just minister to our hearts. Lord, whatever we've been through this week, we need to hear your voice. And so we come asking for a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think there's a more wonderful feeling in the world than to know that you belong. Knowing that you are accepted and loved and valued just for who you are. I think we all just desire a place that we belong. A circle of people that make us feel special and needed and loved. Amen? I think it's the cry of the human heart. I really do. Everybody. It's a secret wish of every person. Whether it's the runaway, or the person in prison, or the person, the prostitute, or the criminal, or the homemaker, the teacher, or even the preacher, it is the desire of every one of us to belong. Have you ever been an outsider? Have you ever been on the outside where you didn't belong? Have you ever gone to a church and you show up, maybe it's the first time, you've never been there before, you don't know anybody, and you walk into church, and nobody says hi to you, nobody acknowledges your presence, they don't smile at you, they don't hug you, they don't welcome you. Have you ever been there? See, I've been in a lot of churches in my life, so I've experienced that a few times. And I have to admit, as a pastor, I wonder when visitors come, and I see a few visitors here today, I just wonder when those people walk into our church, do they feel welcomed? Do they feel like they're home and accepted and all that? And my brother, I've told you about him coming to Christ. He was just born again. He came out of the drug scene and all that, and my brother was born again. It was one of the best times of my life. It was so exciting. And my brother and his girlfriend decide to go to church. My mom went to church. Now he goes, now you got to realize my brother is about almost my height, but 250, 60 pounds. And he was, back in those days, lifted a lot of weight, and he was big, had long hair and a goatee. And I don't know, for whatever the reason, people hardly even acknowledge his presence or said hi. He went 3 weeks in a row. Nobody invited him over. Nobody hardly said hi. He'd go down the hallway because most of the members did not know him. They would walk the other side and they'd look at this big scary guy or whatever. I was calling my brother after and I said, so what's going on? And he says, well, I'm not going back. I mean, I guess they don't care if I'm there. I just don't feel like I belong there. And I don't know about you, but that just kind of hurt my heart, and it kind of made me a little upset that my brother would not feel welcome. He's just coming to Christ. He needed somebody to welcome him, to make him feel at home, to bring him home for lunch, to pray for him, to love him. I got to tell you the opposite. I was down in Yuchi Pines. And Yuchi Pines, I went to church. I just arrived there. I was kind of discouraged, a little depressed. I was working building hiking trails on the Grandfather Mountain out in the Appalachian Mountains. And I was down there, and I discouraged about a few months before that. I just turned down my call to ministry, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know where God was leading, and I was just kind of down that particular Sabbath. Walked into church. It was a smaller church, and I walked over to the side. I was the first person there. No one else was there in the church. The door was open. I walk in, but went halfway up on the right-hand side and sat there with my Bible. I was reading, and people began to come in. I didn't know anybody, and no one came and said hi to me. No one came over and said hi to me, welcomed me. No one even sat by me. I guess I was looking pretty scary, too. I don't know, straight from trail construction, whatever, but nobody sat on my pew. Everybody sat behind me. This filling up, that's filling up, that was filling up. Everything's filling up except by me. Nobody knew me. And we stand up to sing, and I'm sitting there on this pew all by myself. You ever been here? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, right? And I'm just feeling like, you know, okay, and I'm singing away. And I notice, I glance out of the corner of my eye, and I've kind of mentioned this guy before, but I see a guy walk in, and he's a black man. And I didn't think he even saw me. And that guy makes a beeline for me, and he's almost as tall as me. And I had the hymnal, and he just grabs my hymnal like this and pulls it over, and we sang together. And then we sat down, and his leg actually touched my leg. And I wanted to kind of go like this, and he just kept pushing his leg over. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was this amazing moment for me. It was sticking in my mind forever. This guy made me feel at home. Made me feel like I belonged. That I had a friend. Because every one of us grows up with the great desire to be accepted, loved, to belong. It's a God-given desire. It's innate in every one of us. God has made us for community, for fellowship, and for relationship. I've always had that desire, but I've always had a struggle with this because I was so shy and introverted and redheaded and all the rest, and I actually went to 7 different grade schools, 2 academies, 3 colleges. I've moved my whole life. And so I would go into a new community, a new church, a new school, always looking for a place to belong. I wanted people to notice me, accept me, to love me, to value me. And I'd go, will I ever find a friend? Will people welcome me? I've been there so many times. It's not easy to feel that you don't belong. And then straight out of the seminary, I've been in 50, 60 churches at least. And after 50, 60 churches of going for a few weeks and leaving, my heart begins to cry out for real and meaningful relationships with people. Some of you don't even know. How many has been in Lodi your whole life? A few of you. See, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You have had the privilege, and some of you are taking this fellowship, this community for granted. But see, I've been traveling, living. I've lived in so many different states and cities and places in my life. It's amazing. But you know what I found? I found that I am lousy at relationships. My life has trained me to be lousy in relationships. You say, "Well, you're okay, Brent." No, I'm not really good at it. I'm okay at saying hi. I can do that. I've learned to say hi and how you doing, give you a smile, even a hug. I'm okay at that stuff. All that surface stuff, I'm really good at. But I'm not very good at the deep, meaningful relationships. that God wants us to experience in His church. But I've been here a year and a half. Man, 2 years is going to set a record. Can you believe that? For me. And I begin to realize, you know, I begin to talk to myself recently. I've said, man, this is what church is really all about. This is what it's about. I mean, I get hugs every Sabbath right here. And if everybody else missed me, I get one from Bonnie Ruth. Thank you, Bonnie. And people smile at me and hug me and shake my hand. I feel like I belong. And so it's not just another church where I show up for a few weeks and then I head to another place and I'm gone. This is my church. These are my people. You're my people. You're my friends, my brothers and sisters. I'm loving it. Paul talks about this amazing verse. Look at this amazing verse, these verses here in Ephesians. New Living Translation, verses 19 and 22, Ephesians 2. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of the family of God. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of His dwelling, where God lives by His Spirit. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. We are not outsiders. We are not strangers. We belong. Amen? Now listen to how the Message Bible, this is cool. The Message Bible says it this way. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Think about that. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using all of us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what He is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now He's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all parts together. We see it take shape day by day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. And when you read that, what does that do to your heart? It describes that God wants us to be family. He wants us to belong. It's the heart cry of everyone. Doesn't your heart crave for real, meaningful, deep relationships? I think that's what it's all about. That's what church is all about. And I got to tell you right now, there's people sitting here this morning that you're craving that connection with brothers and sisters of the family of God. The Spirit of God brings us together. It's a powerful thing. But I'm going to tell you, people out there in here are hurting. They're lonely. They long for something real and genuine. They want to belong. Keith Miller, in his book, Habitation of Dragons, tells a story about what happened in a small group. They were sharing stories, painful past stories or something of their past. And this one woman named Alice begins to share this sad story of being an orphan. She begins to share hesitantly, but she says, "When I was a tiny little girl, I was put in an orphanage. I was not pretty at all, and no one wanted me. But I can recall longing to be adopted and loved by a family as far back as I can remember. I thought about it day and night, but everything I did seemed to go wrong. I tried hard to please everybody who came to look over me, and all I did was to drive the people away. Then one day, the head of the orphanage told me a family was going to come and take me home with them. I was so excited, I jumped up and down, and I began to cry. The matron reminded me that this was only a trial. You know, it might not be permanent, but I just knew it would be. So I went with this family, started to school in their town. I was a very happy little girl, and life began to open up for me just a little bit. But one day, a few months later, I skipped home from school, ran in the front door, the big old house we lived in. No one was at home. But there in the middle of the front hall was my battered old suitcase with my little coat thrown over it. As I stood there and looked at the suitcase, it slowly dawned on me what it meant. They didn't want me. And I hadn't even suspected it. Sad, isn't it? Pathetic. They didn't want me. She had no one to call her own. No one to belong to. See, whether you're a parent or not, whether you're estranged from your family or loved by your family unconditionally, God calls us His children, His people. We belong. Amen? We belong. Amen? We belong. Randy Maxwell, in his book, If My People Pray, says, we belong all the time, in summer, in fall, in winter, in spring, in bed, on the job, at the market, on our knees, under stress, overdrawn, bad hair day, good hair day, in traffic, all alone, changing a tire or changing a diaper, at the computer, at the cleaners, on the golf course, taking a college course, on cloud 9 or on tunnel 57, it doesn't matter where we are, how we feel, whatever we're doing, God wants us, we belong. We are His people. So let me ask you, do you believe that? I'm not asking, do you understand it? Do you believe it? Do you really believe that God wants you, that you are His treasured possession, that no one else, no matter how good-looking or talented or well-dressed or educated or intelligent or spiritual, can take the place of you in God's heart? The longer that I live and do ministry, the more I'm convinced that the greatest struggle in life and for people isn't if they believe in God. The greatest struggle in life is, does God really love me and care about me right now in my situation and my life? That's the great question out there. Like Randy Maxwell says, you know, it's, hate to burst your bubble, most people don't care about the higher critical method. They don't care about, the King of the North in chapter 11, who it really is. They don't care about the nature of Christ. Amen. Some of you are quiet. What people really care about in their relationship and their walk with God is, does God love me? Does He care about me right now? Listen to some verses in the Bible that just give me courage personally. Isaiah 49, 15 to 16, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Is that awesome? Can you think of a more loving relationship on this planet than a mom with her nursing baby or child? Yet what is God saying? I love you more. That's what it's saying. I care about you more than a loving mom with her baby, her nursing child. You're always on my mind. You are tattooed, inscribed on the palms of my hand. Does that give you courage today? Here's another one, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. You are a treasure to God. He values more than anything else. And he paid a high price. In fact, the highest price that's ever been paid was paid for you. Is that good news? Man, you're on his mind. You're engraved on the palms of his hand. You are his treasured possession. You are valuable to our God. Here's another one. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are what? You are mine. Verse 3 and 4, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored. I love you. Do you feel precious to God today? Do you feel honored by God, that you belong to God, that you are his? Man, I wish these words would just sink down deep into our soul, into our heart. I wish it would stop doubting this. I wish it would come when things are going bad and everything's, you know, wrong in your life. I wish we would stop doubting that we are special to God, that you're always on his mind, that he cares about you, he loves you, he honors you. You are his treasured possession. Don't you wish we'd just keep that right there? But more than being a special treasure. In John 15, verse 14 and 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You are God's friend. Think about that. Not only do you belong to God, not only did he die for you, create you, redeem you, not only are you his treasured possession, more than that, he wants to be your best friend. You guys are so quiet, it's amazing. If I was sitting there, I'd be saying amen. I'm sorry, I would. Because my great desire in my life is to know my God and to be his friend. Wow, what a privilege. Sharing the most intimate relationship with the sovereign Lord and creator of the universe. He permits us, in fact, he pleads with us, he even begs us to know him and to be his friend. Wow. What are you going through right now in your life? It's hard. What are you having a hard time with? Claim the promise. Live by the promises of God. Stop living by your emotions that are up and down in the roller coaster every single day. Claim the promises every day that we can be the friend of God. And he wants to be a friend of us. Man, it's good to have a good friend, isn't it? We have the best friend. How can you lose? You're going through life and things are hard. Guess what? Your friend is there all the time. In every situation, let me take it a step further. John 1:12, but as many as received him, have you received Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, you're more than just a special treasure to God, more than on his mind, more than a good friend. You are a child of God. You are a son and daughter of God. You are family to God. I don't know about you, but I can't live without a family. I mean, my kids up here and my wife, I mean, I love being with my family. But guess what? The family is here. We are the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. And in this family, it doesn't matter race or color or educational status. It doesn't matter your income, what you live in, what you drive. It doesn't matter where you're from. You are family, period. You know, we always come into church and we kind of have this ranking and jockeying. It's interesting. The old caste system. I've been to India, you know, they got the caste system. All the rich, you know. And by the way, you go to India and all the rich are stuck up. I'm telling you. Well, guess what? In America, there's no change. Well, I'm sorry. Careful. But I'm telling you, you go to India and I tried to say hi to the upper caste when I was there. How you doing? Smile. And they would just ignore me. Very few would they even acknowledge my presence. But we'd go out to the villages, people making $2 a day, $1.50 to $3 a day, using manure as their, how they heated their food. Those people, when you go out to them, you touch them. They can't even comprehend that you, a rich American, and yes, we are rich if you go to India. I don't care if you're on welfare here, you go to India, you're rich. And you go there, and I'm telling you, these people will cry sometime when you go and you touch them and you pray for them. We have to say, well, guess what? We still have some of that. Up here, certain income, we don't associate with these people down here. But guess what? In God's family, we're all on the same level. And that's why I love, man, when I go to other churches, I like all different kinds of worship services and people praising the Lord. I was with William and Thais, listening to their praise music from Brazil, and I just love that stuff. How many love the praise music over in India? You haven't been there. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's terrible. No, not really. They have three different types of drums they use in the worship service. And I mean the music is like in between notes and it's like screeching. Oh! But those people praise the Lord. The family of God. It's incredible. That's why when I show up, you know, these places, I feel at home often. Because we're at home, because God dwells in His body, in His people. I want to switch gears just a little bit for a moment. Be really upfront and honest with you. The reason most people out there don't feel loved by God is because they don't feel loved in here. The reason that most people don't feel accepted, don't feel valued, and they don't feel like God's precious treasure out there is because they don't experience it in here. And the reason most people don't feel or believe in God, that they are really sons and daughters, that God wants them to be part of the family, because He doesn't, they don't experience it with us, His family, His church. Everybody longs. The crave of the human heart is to be loved, is to be accepted. That's what we want. It's amazing to me. I come to churches, and people don't even know each other across from the church in this church. They don't even know each other's name. They've been in this church for 20 years. The family of God. Can you imagine Ashley in your family? If you really were in family, could you imagine? I don't even know your name. I know you're one of us, but I don't even know who you are. Nice to see you. Sorry. Remember the old song? Sorry, I've been an evangelist many churches, so I've seen so much of this, and it's just kind of on my heart. But remember the old song, "I'm so glad to be part of the family of God"? You know, you will notice we are brothers and sisters around here. It's because we're a family. These folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory, the family of God. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. But the verse that, you know, from the door of an orphanage, to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. It's good to be part of the family of God, to know people care. I'm going to tell you, my wife and I are privileged to be here with you in this church family. And thank you for you that have reached out to us, that have accepted us with all our weakness and problems. You show love and concern for us, and how many have given in this house project, and thank you for what you've done for us. It is amazing when you're part of a family. It is amazing to belong, not just with God, but with a family that care. Let's look at these verses again. That is plain enough, isn't it? You no longer wander in exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Let that sink in. You're no longer strangers and outsiders. You belong here with as much right to name Christian as anyone. Whoever you are here today, you belong here in this place. So let me ask you a question. Can we really be a family if we never spend time together? Can we really be God's body if we spend a couple hours a week and that's it? Can we really be family? Well, just think about your own family. If you saw your kids 2 hours a week, how would your family do? In the early church, the word koinonia was coined. The word is an expression that expresses the closest kind of fellowship. The early church was koinonia. They were intimately connected to each other in deep relationships. There was really no large structure. They would go to the temple at times, but as a church, they went house to house. There was no institution or organization. No, God's church was established based on community and fellowship, being together, small groups. That's how he established his church. The believers just didn't come together to hear the word, see you later, see you next Sabbath. Believers ate together, they shared together, they praised and worshiped together, they prayed together, they did life together. See, small group isn't just another fad. Small groups isn't the latest and greatest church growth tool. It is not new. It is the core of what the church is and should be. And Jesus, and see, we have been trying to do church based on a pastor model that is not scriptural. We are the priesthood of all believers. It was based on church, on small groups. The church was built on that. Jesus modeled it. And I'm going to tell you, one of the great problems with the Adventist church today is not what we believe. We have truth, praise God for it, and God has blessed us with truth. And that's why I'm an Adventist today. But I'm telling you, there's a side of the coin that Adventism has been missing. And we get this right, we are going to be powerful again in this world. And that is relationships. We're lousy at relationships. We come to church, we got the truth, but you look at Christ. Christ started the Christian movement with a small group. 3.5 years, he preached to the multitudes, but he invested everything in 12 men. And he changed the world by 12 common, ordinary men. He changed everything. He invested everything in his 12 disciples. Why are we doing it differently? Why is a church just going to church, to a building once a week? Jesus Christ was not concerned about simply a large organization, institution. He simply organized and trained 12 men in a small group. Jesus was about building people, not about an organization and an institution. Folks, when we get it right, we'll get healthy again. When we start actually having a relationship, when we get back to the model of Jesus Christ, we will see power again. I'm going to tell you, this last year, I've enjoyed so much our small group. It's just been amazing. I could tell you all the miracles that have happened in our small group. I could tell you the blessings from our small group. I've heard a guy that never preached in public before, pray the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard. People we laid hands on, I mean, all kinds of things. Struggles of life happened in our small group this last year. And it was amazing. I got a good friend I didn't know before our small group. His name is Wayne, and he's here today. I asked him if I could tell what happened. This week, Wayne lost his mom this week. So we had a funeral this week. It's hard for me to see Wayne struggle. But Wayne told me, as we're going to a small group, he's a kind of a quiet guy. And he began to tell us, he says, man, he says, I feel like I belong for the first time. He says, I come to church and I know people, and people even hug me and say hi to me. I belong. See, small groups shouldn't be an option. They should not be an option. You should not, in your mind, think that Sabbath morning is all you need. Small groups, that's how Jesus told us to do it. That's the way we should do it. He said, go make disciples. If we're going to follow him and be faithful to him, we need to be about his model and his way. People are hungry for real relationships, aren't you? And if you're not involved, you're missing out. You are missing out of the power of small groups. See, some of you thinking, oh, Brent's just going to come and we're going to do small groups for a year or two. That will fizzle out and die out. Guess what? If I'm here, you're going to have small groups. So you might as well set it right now. This is just the way it's going to be. And this is church. This is the real church, not an institution, an organization. It is people meeting together, being a family, growing together. Bob Benson, in the book, Come Share the Being, relates a great story. He says in his book, do you remember when they had the old-fashioned church picnics? That's been a while. But let's just say, he says, imagine you come home at the last minute. When you got ready to pack your lunch, all you could find in the refrigerator was one dried-up piece of bologna and just enough mustard in the bottom of the jar so that you got it all over your knuckles trying to get it out. And there were just two stale pieces of bread. So you made your bologna sandwich and wrapped it up in a brown bag and went to the picnics. And when it came time to eat, you sat at the end of the table, spread out your sandwich. But the folks next to you, the lady was a good cook, and she had worked all day, and she had fried chicken and baked beans and potato salad, made homemade rolls and sliced tomatoes and pickles and olives and celery, and to top it all off, two big homemade chocolate pies. The Adventist lifestyle, you know. They spread it out all out beside you there, and you're there with your bologna sandwich. They say to you, why don't you put it all together? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I just couldn't think of doing that, you murmured embarrassingly. Oh, come on. There's plenty of chicken and plenty of pie and plenty of everything. And we just love bologna sandwiches, too. Let's just put it all together. And so you did. And there you sat, eating like a king, when you came as a pauper. Some of you, because you are disconnected in the church, are not experiencing what God has for you. You are a pauper when God wants you to eat like a king. And there is a feast that begins to happen When you connect with brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, the Spirit of God comes down in a way He does not come into your life individually. And I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot be a dynamic, powerful Christian without being involved in a small group, period. You need accountability. You need fellowship, connection. You need everything that the family of God brings into your life. See, I am tired of the stale bologna sandwiches. Amen. I want the feast. I want you to stand with me. Let's sing. Let's sing. Daniel's going to be on the piano. Sing together that old song. Been around since 1970. Think about that. You will notice we say brother and sisters round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in its victory. His family's so dear. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this hour. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags on to riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this on. For I'm part of the family of God. Father, it is good, just so good to be part of the family of God. And God, I pray that this family, You'll draw us together. That here in this place, we'll be connected. And like Ephesians talks about, that Your Spirit will bring us together. That we will be built up stone by stone, brick by brick, into a holy temple for the Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, come and work in this place. And Lord, as I'm praying this morning, I'm just thinking about all the people right around this church in Lodi that don't feel like they belong, that are hurting and lonely, that need to experience the power of the family of God. God, may we be Your hands and Your feet and Your mouth and Your eyes. And may we be Your body and go out and share Your love with others around us. In Jesus' name, amen.